fear most in football staring you right in the face?
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac, stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
You had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Mark Grody has got you covered inside of the Bears locker room. Our segment with him is brought to you by Loyola Medicine. When things are at their worst, we're at our best. You've got exclusive tape. I'm getting out the way. What do we need to know?
Well, let's start with Matt Eberflus. And I don't know if you guys have been able to turn the page, but I have not been able to turn the page. But actually, if you guys want to start with that, let's start with that. Let's start with the stuff inside of the locker room today. And of course, it is all about what happened this past week in D.C. with the blown coverage on the Hail Mary, and then several players, many of whom were on the score, critiquing their head coach and talking about what has gone down with the team over the last several days or so. So let's start then with inside the locker room with just a few of us that were with Jalen Johnson on expressing concerns to the coaches and how that's going.
I mean, it really just starts with being open to listen, first and foremost. And then really just at the end of the day, just really taking heed to what we're saying, allowing them to trust us in what we're saying, to believe us, to make changes. But, I mean, ultimately it's up to them to make the changes or to take what we're saying.
Do you think this will change the team for the better?
What will change the team for the better?
Just everything that has happened with the meetings that you guys have had, with you guys being outspoken about practices. Cole Kmet specifically talked about respecting the game, and that, and he said, like, leading up to this week, there were some issues in practice as well. So will this straighten things like that out?
No, nothing that has been said hasn't been said. I mean, we've been talking about improving. We've been talking about doing things better the right way. I mean, at the end of the day, something like that just exposes certain things. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it wasn't nothing new that was said. It was just things that we keep reiterating that, of course, bit us in the ass.
All right, so let's pause right there for a second. That's a good question and important point, Groats, that everything that's been said, according to Jalen Johnson, has already been said privately. It's important to note. All right, let's pick it up.
Articulate where you're at this week with this game and understanding what the stakes are for this team.
Well, me personally, for the team,
for the team and for you individually, just making sure that this thing gets.
I mean, we're not at a point to where we can let games like that go. Because I mean, it can easily go from. It could have went from 5-2, or could have went to 5-2, and now we're in a position at 4-3, or fighting to stay above 500. So I mean, like I said, nothing really is solidified. Nothing. There's always a sense of urgency. I mean, you can win 3 in a row, you can lose 3 in a row. So I mean, it's never. Every week is different. Every situation is not to be taken lightly. So I mean, just for me, for the team, I mean, every week is a great opportunity to win, and we can't let them slip through our hands.
So what do you need to see these next 4 days and on Sunday for you to feel like you guys have cleared the bar that you set?
We got to win. But, I mean, we can do things Monday through Saturday, and it all feels good going to the game. We lose, and quite honestly, it don't mean shit to me. I mean, we're here for wins and losses, not just doing things the right way. I mean, hopefully doing things the right way gets us those wins, but, I mean, ultimately it's about winning and losing.
What do you think about the heat that's been on your head coach, Matt Eberflus?
I don't know what heat you're talking about.
Just in terms of critiques of him, you know, second to last play of the game, maybe not calling a timeout for the last play. There has been a lot of people talking about Matt Eberflus and his decisions.
I don't got nothing to do with me, honest. I mean, that's something he got to deal with, and I mean, that comes with it. I mean, I'm sure Tariq got the same criticism. I mean, if you're somebody in this high spotlight situation like that, you're going to be critiqued. So, I mean, I don't think nothing of it.
So 100% support from you guys in the locker room for your head coach.
Yeah, that's our head coach.
We asked him.
All right, hold on. Pause right there, please.
You guys believe.
So there's a way of talking about the head coach like an equal, like, you know, Tariq deals with stuff. I guess coach has to deal with stuff. And then so 100% support, you ask for Mark Grody, and he says, yep, he's our head coach.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't really sound particularly convincing to me, and I don't want to read into his words because there wasn't a follow-up after that, but I mean, it just kind of just seeing him, watching him go through all of that, it just didn't seem like the greatest endorsement in the world. So,
that,
but again,
that
again,
pause I was 8.5 months pregnant.
Quintuplets. I think it's quintuplets, it looks like, from the outside. Oh, my goodness. All right, let's finish up with Jalen before we keep going.
So how does he retain your belief?
How does he retain our belief?
As your head coach, like, how do you stay believing in him going forward?
How do we stay believing in him? I mean, I feel like that's quite honestly part of the job, you would think. I mean, shit, as long as somebody's your head coach, I mean, the same thing with, in a sense, the quarterback situation when everybody asks, are you behind Justin? He's our quarterback. He's who we're going with. I mean, so at the end of the day, whoever's in that position, whoever is in our locker room, whoever is our coaches are, I mean, that's who we believe in. That's who we trust to lead us to the championship at the end of the day.
You said on Monday that you feel like you guys could have benefited from a timeout.
100%.
What do you think the greatest benefit of that moment would have been to just settle things down and get realigned?
Yeah, I mean, just really settle the moment down. My biggest thing is, I'm sure if we're in the finals, we got one more shot or one more possession, you're going to call in the sense of timeout to make sure the play is drawn up correctly. We're going to set this pick this way. I mean, get your guys in the best position to succeed. I mean, at the end of the day, that doesn't necessarily change the result, but it changes, I would say, your mentality going into that play. So, I mean, no different for us going in, getting a timeout, settling this down, making sure we're getting reminders of what we're doing, who's going to do what, and then go out there and try to execute.
How would you describe Tariq this week? Did the Bleeders have like a message for him as well?
Nah, there's no message. At the end of the day, like I've been saying, there's not too much for us to say. I mean, the stakes are at the highest that it could have been, and he knows what came with it. So, I mean, there's nothing for us to say. At the end of the day, he feels already in a terrible position. So, it's not too much to say. He just got to come out here. Well, we do have a lot to say. We got to build him up. Because, I mean, he's still going to play. And at the end of the day, we got to continue to get him in the right direction and bring him along so we can win these games.
So Jalen feeling very supportive of Tariq. That's someone who's in his room. They feel like they have to love him up, coach him up, work with him, all of those things. I do like, if you're a Bears fan, you should like the fact that there is a level of urgency from players. We got to win. How can we fix this? We got to win. We're not good enough to give games like that away. I love hearing that from Jalen Johnson.
Yeah, and I will tell you guys, too, that throughout the whole thing, it may be detectable and may not be. He was kind of irritated throughout the whole interview. Like, I don't know if he wanted to talk today, but as he is, you know, he's so affable in terms of talking to us that he did, and then just gave the usual great answers. But there was an edge. There was an edge to Jalen Johnson today that I haven't seen in a while.
There's an edge. There's the acknowledgement that whoever our coach is who we trust and who we go with. That's part of the job. That's right. Quite something, man. And that pause has been to the obstetrician like 6 times. I mean, my goodness.
I was like, I'm glad you guys have reacted like that because that's what I got out of it. You know, I was talking to some of the other reporters, like, did we all hear the same thing there? So it sounds like you guys heard the exact same thing from Jalen Johnson right there. Let me move on now to
that pause had an epidural. I mean, sweet Jesus. All right,
Sometimes I take the pauses out. Sometimes I don't.
Glad you left it in.
That was one of those times where I thought that it needed to stay in. Kevin Byard, another safety another captain of the Bears. He's also a safety. And he's feeling a little bit differently about everything today as opposed to the other day when he spoke to the media. Here's Kevin Byard.
You know, obviously at the Monday, and that we're just really after the game, I think everybody were pretty emotional. You know what I mean? Coach included, myself, all the players. Yeah. And obviously things were said, conversations were had, and I think we all kind of got, you know, after that, you know, we all got, like, interviews and podcasts and kind of do all those things. And, you know, I feel like we all kind of voiced our opinions and voices what was on our heart. We kind of wore our hearts on the sleeves or whatever. And just for myself personally, I can only speak for myself, but I've always been a big believer of, like, keeping family business. And I don't think I displayed that by, you know, I'm going to voice my opinions and things like that. But I started my interview with the team and just said that, hey, we had a conversation and I said this. I don't think I should have did it. You know what I mean? I don't regret it because I mean, I still have those opinions, but I just feel like that shouldn't – a personal conversation I had with a coach shouldn't be shared out. You know what I mean? Because I feel like it should be, you know, in-house. But, you know, the meetings went well. To answer your first part of the question.
We asked him how he retains the belief of players. He said, ask you guys. So how does he retain your belief going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I still think Flus is a hell of a coach. You know what I mean? I think that obviously one play that was the biggest play in the game, obviously. You know, I don't think that, you know, if you take – we play 72 plays on defense. And if, let's say, for example, he called four or five bad plays, you know what I mean, and he called the rest of them great, it doesn't make him a terrible coach or nothing like that. So I still believe in him as a coach. I believe him as a man, you know what I mean. And I respect the fact that he lets us voice our opinions in these meetings and things like that, because I've been on, you know, another team where that may not have happened. And he's opened up for not necessarily just criticism, but just open feedback from players. So I still respect him, and the players still believe in him, because like I said, we still have a lot to play for. And you know, we still feel like as a team and as players that we're a great team, and we're still going to be where we need to be at the end of the stand.
And understanding the spirit of what you said about kind of regretting being so open with us, maybe.
Well, no, I don't regret.
Okay.
I don't regret. I just, looking back at it, like I said, not getting any emotions of obviously rather the game. I think we all were, because, I mean, that was an unbelievable thing that happened. Nice. Looking back at it as a man, like I said, I feel like I would have handled it differently, but I don't regret how I felt about it. Mm-hmm. But I wish that I would just keep family business.
Wow. So if we ask you questions about that, that's something that you're going to be more hesitant to respond to, like specific things, like we were asking about the second to the last play, you know,
right,
things like that. I guess that, and did Matt Eberflus agree with you too? Like, was he kind of put off by the fact that you shared with us that?
No, I don't think it was put off or not like that. I was just saying, like I said, I just think that the way I worded it by saying, you know, me and Flus, we had a conversation, and I felt this. I don't think I should have did that. If I just felt that way, I should say I felt that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I said, I just think that anytime you're having a personal conversation with a teammate, coach, shoot, even a media member or whatever, you know, if it's personal, I don't think that should just be aired out. You know what I mean? It's just like, if I got an issue with my family member, I don't go on social media and just put them out there. I just think that that's, you know what I mean, it's kind of – no, I won't say childish, but like I said, I feel like just the emotions of everything that happened, you know, within that 24 hours, you know what I mean? Now that I'm completely flushed it, you know what I mean? I'm just looking back at it like, yeah, I probably would have handled it differently.
You guys put such emphasis on discipline. You know, this hit system really holds everybody accountable.
Right.
When
hold it right there, Robbie, because I hear Pat Finley moving on to a different subject. Lawrence, that sounds to both of us like Kevin Byard was among some people told to talk less.
Yeah, it definitely feels like they got their hands slapped by the coach and the general manager. Because I'm seeing some of the quotes from DJ Moore, too. And, you know, like, it feels – that's why I didn't like the concept of the walkthrough. And I know that they got a whole bunch of injuries, and that's probably the reason that they had a walkthrough. But the walkthrough that no one could see kind of felt like – an all-team meeting to me.
And Kevin Byard is an OG and a guy who's now trying to voice the new normal is what it sounds like, Groats. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I agree with you guys. You know, I think that somebody, you know, I think that they probably all agreed that this is the kind of stuff that should not be aired publicly. And to Lawrence's point, in a little bit, we will hear from DJ Moore specifically about that in the Doug Kramer play. So we will get to DJ Moore as well. But it definitely sounds. I will say this, Byard, and if we're gonna point out that Jalen Johnson didn't give a great endorsement, I thought that Kevin Byard did give a pretty good endorsement.
Agreed.
Of Matt Eberflus.
He still stood on business though, and I appreciate that about him, that he was basically like, look,
I believe it.
I wasn't wrong about what I said.
I didn't have to tell you that.
That's
I said
true.
What I said.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's an interesting distinction. All right, here's a little more. Pat Finley is in the middle of asking about the discipline, supposedly, they have.
Thing that obviously needs to be held accountable. Do you need to hear Matt say that publicly, or do you just need to hear it in your room? How does that fly when, you know, he told us, he's like, I'm not going to tell you whether I'm going to start him or not, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't. For me, doesn't really matter if he does it publicly or anything like that. How him or Ryan or anybody deals with discipline when it comes to players, that's, you know, between them and the players. I feel like us as leaders, you know what I mean, like I've spoken to Reek. Obviously, I'm not going to air that conversation out. But I'm just saying, like, we all talked to him, you know. And I said this in the media before, like, I'm going to love on him just like I did before the game. You know what I mean? Like, everybody has their own growth path that they're taking. And I think he's on the right track, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, you know, it happened, you know what I mean? And like I said, we're just moving past it at this point.
Are you satisfied that it's been handled?
Am I satisfied? I mean, it's not really I don't know if it really matters if I'm satisfied or not. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, if Reek is back out there on Sunday starting, you know, I'm not going to feel a way about it. If he's not out there starting, I'm not going to feel a way about it because at the end of the day, I have to play safety for the Bears, and I have to hold down my responsibilities, and I have to be accountable to things I need to be accountable to.
Wow, my God.
Another late-term pause.
We got both these guys now saying, like, I have a job to do no matter what I think, so it doesn't matter. I'm not going to feel a certain way. I mean, God, it sounded like Byard thought maybe Tyreek shouldn't be starting, but he's going to be okay with whatever happens.
Yeah, well, it sounds to me like, and this is just a guess on things that I'm hearing out here and stuff that anybody can watch and see, but what I've been inferring is that if there is discipline, maybe it'll be a ceremonial miss the first series or something
you're,
like
you're
that.
Yeah, you're not starting, and that, right. That goes in your record.
You miss a game. You miss a game
started.
You
didn't started. Get a start.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. One other guy I want you guys to hear from in the locker room is Tremaine Edmonds. Now, you know, Tremaine Edmonds has always been sort of he's a rah-rah guy. He speaks in a lot of sports cliches. He reminds me of Danny Trevathan, very upbeat, very positive guy. But I thought he was very interesting today as well when he was, and we start with him being asked if he has spoken to Tyreek Stevenson about everything.
Have you talked to Tyreek about all this?
Like I said, man, we all been going through things, not just one player. You know, we all been talking as a team. But I think right now the focus is on Arizona.
The word accountability has come up a lot the last couple of days. As players, do you need to see the coaching staff hold players accountable, whether it's Tyreek, whether it's something else, in order to respect them as coaches?
The word accountability is for whoever, you know what I mean? You can stick that on, you know what I mean, whoever you want to stick it on, but as far as accountability, that's just for whoever, you know what I mean? That's just in the sport that we play, that's just being a professional, you know what I mean? Even if you talk outside of football, that's being a professional, you know, being accountable to what you got to do as far as just showing up every day, you know what I mean? It's not just on one person. It's not just on one thing. Accountability just goes for everything, on and off the field.
Do you see Flus taking accountability for his coaching decisions?
Like I said, accountability goes for everybody. You know, it's not about pinpointing one person or not, but, you know, accountability goes for everybody.
They talk about the coach like he's an equal, and that is a nod to the kind of modern locker room that we were talking about earlier with Pat Manley. It's an interesting thing. Like, he's got to be accountable, I got to be accountable, he's got to face heat, I got to face heat, that kind of thing. But my goodness, this sounds like this is an interesting moment for this group, who has clearly been told not to say some of the stuff they've said.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that what we're seeing will allow them to grow. But with each day, it seems like there's a lot more doubt that's creeping in to my head than there was on Monday.
Feels like a step further towards disconnect from your head coach.
Yeah, like these are the things that I'm worried about, and again, my point of view is colored by stuff that I saw as a reporter, and that's what it feels like. Now, maybe it is different because times are different, but this is not great. Like, I'll just say that. Like, this is not great other than, like, for us. Like, for us, it's phenomenal.
Well, I described it yesterday as mid-chaos, pre-mutiny, you know?
I mean, I had an NFL reporter say, on the brink of mutiny.
Yeah, so we're still pre-mutiny.
Yeah.
We're not there.
I don't think we're there, but...
We may not get there.
We might not get there, but here's what I want to do.
We're still mid-chaos.
Definitely chaos, and a win will help a lot of different things. Groats, I want to take a break here, because there's more stuff, and you need more time. So we're going to take a break, and then we're going to get after it, because there's more people that talked. Groats sent us a whole list of folks that were inside the locker room today, and the DJ Moore stuff you need to hear because it is relevant to the situation. It's also relevant to the score. So buckle up, Buttercup, and stay tuned. More of this Bears Hit with Mark Grody.
Who are you calling Buttercup?
You.
All right.
You got one right there by your desk.
I'm going to have it at the break.
Next here on The Score.